Sorry for that interruption. Your prayers are greatly appreciated, and I do stand in need of them this day to be able to have the physical strength to deliver this sermon. Spiritually, I've been led in what I should bring before this body this day. By way of explanation and not of apology to those from the temple lot, I gave this sermon last week up at the temple lot. And I sought the Lord separately for a sermon for the temple lot and for the East Local. And I was led to deliver this same sermon to both. So that's by way of explanation. How many enjoy vacations? Boy, I see hands out there, and I know those that didn't raise their hands enjoy vacations just as well. And each of you, as you go on those vacations, have certain expectations. Each of you, as you go on those vacations, bring back certain memories with you. And some of you that are so inclined, and I think most of us think ourselves to be gifted photographers, bring back pictures, don't we? That we might remind ourselves. And in these pictures, not pictures of people, but in these pictures we take scenery. We take shots of scenery. And it brings back a remembrance of what we've been able to enjoy. You remember that first time that you saw the ocean for the first time? First time you saw the Rockies, the Smoky Mountains, the Ozarks, the wonders that God has blessed us with on this land and throughout the whole world. These are views that we want to bring back to remembrance. First-hand views that we try to share with others, and it's difficult at times. Even with a photograph, it is not the same thing as having experienced it firsthand for the first time. You know, spiritually, we're pretty much the same way. We should have views of where we have come from, where we are in God's plan and work, and where we hope to be one day. Views, expectations. The Scriptures call them hope. And we should have that hope within our heart, our mind, our very soul at all times. Now, as I said, it's hard to share what we have experienced firsthand, but secondhand sharing of God's spiritual views are necessary within this Church of Christ. And we do this through a great many means. We write articles for The Advocate, for The Hand of Fellowship, for the various publications throughout the Church of Christ. We seek to share them. We seek to share these views of God's work within each of us in our prayer and testimony. Rising up to share what God has meant to us from the inside out. We seek to share this as we witness to those in the world of the strength that we derive from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all these are views. They're views. Now, we're admonished not to trust in the arm of flesh. So we should always administer these or receive them with a spirit of discernment. But, you know, the children out there, the young people that we have in the congregation, your parents have your spiritual welfare at heart. And each that seek to teach within this body of Christ, each that seek to be a good example, are those that have your spiritual welfare at heart. And we're to receive these views that others have. One of the things I viewed coming into the church this day was the sign we have out front. The Church of Christ. The Church of Christ. You know, that is a metal sign. At one time we had a wood sign, and it deteriorated. And we put metal out there and enameled the surface with the paint and sought to make that a lasting impression, a lasting view. Up at the temple lot, they've etched it in marble. Last even longer. But yet it is a view. And yet even it will deteriorate. But within your heart, that name, the Church of Christ, should be etched there. And it should be something special to you. It should be a view of Jesus Christ, who is the head of this church. We named the church after our Savior, after our King. And He is indeed the head of this church. And as I look out this day, I see ministry out here. And there are more that are missing this day. And they are elsewhere delivering the Word of God. Another strength or a view that we have in the immediacy around us this day, the here and now, a ministry called of God. And we have a body of Christ this day, small in numbers, our pastor has said, but yet this body in its strength is a strong body of Christ. Now, I don't know which makes the other the one stronger. A strong ministry makes a strong body. A strong body demanding a strong ministry makes a strong ministry. But they go hand in hand. And each are necessary to stand as a living body of Christ. But they won't stand without you. They won't stand without your individual commitment. And what makes you strong as a follower, a believer in Jesus Christ, is a view that you treasure within your heart of that which has already transpired, that which is here and now, and that which is to come. That which is to come. If you'll turn in your Book of Mormons to page 194. And this is a reading of an individual that began in weakness, but he held a view treasured in his heart that his father had taught him about, his earthly father had taught him about Jesus Christ. And in his weakness, he sought God. He sought Christ alone. And he found Him. Page 194, Enos, the first chapter. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language, and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before that I received a remission of my sins. He sought God in his weakness. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints and the words of my father sunk deep into my heart. And my soul hungered. He whet his appetite, his spiritual appetite, and he sought God, and his soul hungered. And I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto Him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. You know, your pastor, as he led us in prayer this day, and also our brother Frank, as he led and closed in prayer Sunday school hour, and Steve, as he led and closed during the prayer and testimony, we pray for a lot of people. We pray for a lot of things in this life. But here, it is not wrong to pray for self. That's not selfish. That's starting out to make the individual strong, that the body of Christ might be strong, that the ministry of Christ might be strong, that the church of Christ might be strong. And we are admonished to pray for self, that we might be healed. And Enos was in his weakness, and he sought God. His soul hungered, and he prayed for his own soul. And the Lord heard him. And the Lord lifted the weight of those weaknesses, those sins away. And Enos asked a question. He said, Lord, how is it done? How's that weight removed? How is my view improved? How am I able to hope? And the Lord says, it is because of your faith in Jesus Christ, who has not yet come, whom you have not seen or heard. Now, you know, we're on the other side of that time spectrum. Christ has already come. But we as Enos have not seen Him. Some of us may have heard Him. But for the most part, we're like Enos. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ. He prayed for self. And when he received that hope, when he received that view, who did he pray for? He prayed for those around him that were his friends, the Nephites. Much as I or you would pray for this body of Christ. Pray for your loved ones, those that you hold near and dear and close. And he sought the Lord in the same manner that he did, in faith believing in Jesus Christ, as we are admonished to improve our view, to expand our view. And he prayed for his friends. And the Lord said, according to their diligence, in my keeping my commandments, I will visit them. Now Enos prayed for self, he prayed for his friends, and then he prayed for something that I at times have a hard time praying for. And I'm sure you do too. He prayed for his enemies, those that rubbed him the wrong way, those that sought to do him physical harm, those that would hold him up to ridicule and put him down. He prayed for his enemies, the Lamanites. And he prayed, Lord, we're here on this land by ourselves. And if I and my friends the Nephites should fall into decay spiritually, should be swept away, spare the Lamanites. And the Lord answered that because faith was used once again. And the Lord said, I'll spare them. And then, as his view was expanded, he prayed not only for self, he prayed not only for his friends, not only for his enemies, but he prayed that a word should be preserved, the word of God, their record, which we read this day. Without that, we would not have it before us. And he prayed for this record, and the Lord said, I'll preserve it. It'll come back. And again, another weight was lifted. Again, Enos found rest for his soul. He found a peace. He found that there was a wholeness. These are things that Enos viewed. He may not have experienced them firsthand, physically and temporally, but nonetheless, they were spiritually before him, and he prayed for them. Let's turn to Hebrews, and we'll find a record of people that also prayed, held a view before them. May never have attained to it, but yet they were able to view it. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And starting with verse 13 through 16. And in this chapter, it lists a great many people, men and women that loved God, that loved Jesus Christ, that in faith stepped out, in faith hoped, in faith viewed. And it lists Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Isaac. It lists Moses and Rahab. It lists a great many that we've read about in the Bible that reached out in faith. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It says that in faith they reached out. In faith they had a view on the horizon. And they sought that. But it said they died before they attained to it. But they were able to view it afar off. They were able to have that hope. They were able to have that great view before them. And Jesus Christ changed them from the inside out. And in the world, as we are in the world this day, they felt out of place. They felt like it was a journey that they had entered into, a physical existence. But they were looking for something. Enos found peace to his soul because he used faith, he exercised faith, he gained a knowledge. And these also, as he exercised faith, gained a knowledge. And they viewed from afar off, and they felt as pilgrims out of place here in this life or this race that we have entered into. They entered into also. Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Have you ever taken off on a journey and you wish you could turn around and go back where you started? I think we've all felt that way, physically, sometimes spiritually. These could have turned around. These could have went back to the country they knew, the country that held strength for them, that held an existence for them, but they felt out of place in it because they had a view afar off. And it says that they embraced it. How do you embrace it? A covenant with Jesus Christ. A promise to turn your life around, so that that country that you come out of holds no desire there. But it's a country that they sought for. That's where they wanted to be. And that should be our view also. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. You know, I like that. They sought in faith a country. But God provided a city. Now, is that a scale down from a whole country? No, I don't think so. I think that is showing how complete God's plan is. God prepared a country, but within that He prepared a city for their comfort, their existence, their needs, their cares, their fears, their wants. He prepared a personal comfort for them in that country. A city. That's what God holds out for us this day. A city yet to be. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And it goes on to list how that through their faith, that view that they held on the horizon, they were able to not only accept God's will, His plan, but to begin a work. And that's what we're called. Enos viewed on the horizon. These within Bible times also viewed on the horizon. You know, and without that view, if you look around today, what do you see on the front page? You see a country in turmoil. Our country, without a sense of direction. You know, if you have a sense of direction, you move off in one direction. You have a purpose, you have a goal. But right now, we are so focused on one thing in our capital with our president that we have no focus. Because I'm not sure he has a focus right now. I'm not sure he has a view. But I saw another man by the name of Daniel Crocker on the front page also. Anybody know who he is? He's a murderer. He committed a murder 19 years ago here in our city. He's been living on the East Coast all this time. Nobody knew who he was. But he has a view now. His life has been turned around because of Jesus Christ, not of our church. But he has a view. And his life is so turned around that he wants to make things as right as he can. And he came back, he confessed, and he'll suffer the judgment. He has a view. Without a view, we lose focus, we lose drive, we lose momentum. Without a view, I can't be long-suffering. I can't endure the things that are placed and put upon me in this day-to-day life, nor can you. without a view, we can't be long-suffering spiritually within this body of Christ unless we have a view on the horizon where we wish to go, who we wish to draw close to. Without a view, I can't have patience with my fellow man. I lose patience. Without a view, are there good Samaritans in the world? Are you ready, willing, and able to take time? Unless you have that view, unless you have Christ in your heart, unless you've been turned around, without a view. And we have the year 2000 that looms on the horizon. And a great many people are so focused on that date, they have no view beyond. Well, brothers and sisters, those of you that have embraced Jesus Christ and His gospel and trust in His prophecy know that there is a view beyond. There is a hope beyond. 2000 may be a problem. It may be a pain. But it is just a date in time. It is not a view spiritually. Without a view, we lose all these things. But we have a view within this body of Christ. Within this body of Christ, here and now, we have priesthood authority. Men called of God to serve Him. I didn't choose this for myself. I didn't want this for myself. But I've entered in for a reason, because I believe it to be true. Now, I'm not saying there aren't good people in other denominations, other churches. There are. And as they have found Christ, as their view is established, as their hope is established in Him, then they move out in a direction. And as they study the Scriptures, as they seek God in prayer, as they humble their hearts before them, before Him, their direction will meet me one day, will meet each of you one day. Because in the end time, in the latter days, how many churches are there? Two. One that serves Satan, one that serves the devil, and the other that serves the Lamb. But within the Church of Christ, there is priesthood authority called of God. Baptism into the kingdom of God. With priesthood authority comes the right way to enter the Church of Christ. The water, the laying on of hands for reception of the Holy Ghost. There are other churches that do not do that. But as they lend their heart, their soul, their service, their mind, everything that they are, to learning from the Scriptures and being led of God firsthand, they'll meet us one day. Within this Church of Christ, we bless little children. We don't baptize them. We have an understanding that we are not to baptize little children, but to bless them, to hold them up before God and ask that His power, His palm, surround them, protect them, and hold them to the day they reach the age of accountability. Within this Church of Christ, we call for the elders to lay hands upon for healing. The elders don't have power. The elders don't have a strength. It is because of their obedience, because of their faith, because of their belief, that they come forward and lay hands on. And it is because of the brother or the sister, the child of Christ, that reaches out in faith. It is through that avenue of faith and obedience that the Lord heals. The laying on of hands. Within this body of Christ, this last year, we have seen manifestations of the Spirit of God. Spirit of God. The Missouri reunion, we saw young men called into the priesthood. A manifestation of the Spirit. In April, we saw the Spirit and heard the Spirit call men to fill the quorum of apostles. And it's almost filled this day. The August Ministers' Conference, during the meetings, one of the brothers asked to be administered to. The laying on of hands, calling for the elders. And they did so in faith. And right on the heels of that administration, the Spirit spoke to the brother and told him what he needed to do. A manifestation of the Spirit of God. As Enos sought God's direction, as Enos received because of his faith, his believing, it says that he received a rest to his soul. And brothers and sisters, have we not received a peace spiritually and physically because of our views, our hopes, our love? These are things that we have viewed in the past. These are things that we view even now, but we have hopes yet to come. Turn in your Book of Mormons to Ether, the 6th chapter. And we'll read about the New Jerusalem. Ether, the 6th chapter, page 750. These are the words as recorded by Moroni, but they are the words of a prophet of God by the name of Ether. And in the first verse, "And now I, Moroni, proceed to finish my record concerning the destruction of the people of which I have been writing. For behold, they rejected all the words of Ether, for he truly told them of all things from the beginning of man, and how that after the waters had receded from off the face of this land, it became a choice land above all other lands, a chosen land of the Lord. Wherefore the Lord would have that all men should serve him which dwelt upon the face thereof." And what land is this talking about? This very continent that we stand upon. "Wherefore the Lord would have that all men should serve him which dwelt upon the face thereof, and that it was a place of the New Jerusalem which should come down out of heaven, and the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Behold, Ether saw the days of Christ, and he spake concerning a New Jerusalem upon this land, and he spake also concerning the house of Israel, and the Jerusalem from whence Lehi should come. After that it should be destroyed, it should be built up again, a holy city unto the Lord." "Wherefore it could not be a New Jerusalem, for it had been in a time of old, but it should be built up again and become a holy city of the Lord. And it should be built up unto the house of Israel." Those in Hebrews of the 11th chapter sought a country. And the Lord said he would provide a city. "And that a New Jerusalem should be built upon this land unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph, for the which things there has been a time. For as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, even so he died therefore. Wherefore the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they should perish not, even as he was merciful unto the father of Joseph, that he should perish not." And that simply put says that the Lord provided a place for the shelter of Joseph and his brethren and his father in the land of Egypt. And as the Lord brought him up out of Egypt, the Lord also brought the seed here to this land before that Jerusalem was destroyed of old. Brought a remnant to this land, to this continent. "Wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance. And they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old. And they shall no more be confounded until the end come, when the earth shall pass away. And there shall be a new heaven and a new earth. And they shall be like unto the old, save the old have passed away, and all things have become new. And then cometh the new Jerusalem, and blessed are they which dwell therein. For it is they whose garments are white through the blood of the Lamb, and they are they which are numbered among the remnant of the seed of Joseph, and were of the house of Israel. A view of things yet to come. A view given of a prophet of old. His people rejected. His people would not receive. But a view that we are privy to this day, because Enos and others prayed for this record. The Lord preserved, the Lord brought it back once again. A view of old that Ether had of a date beyond ours. But you know what Ether viewed at the same time? Do you know what he suffered? In verses 14 and 15. And I was about to write more, but I am forbidden. But great and marvelous were the prophecies of Ether. But they esteemed him as naught, and cast him out. And he hid himself in the cavity of a rock by day, and by night he went forth viewing the things which should come upon the people in his time. He had to hide himself in a cave so that he would not be destroyed of his people. And as he dwelt in the cavity of a rock, he made the remainder of this record, viewing the destructions which came upon the people by night. All these things he viewed from a cave. All these things he recorded faithfully. All these things Moroni recorded for us. And we have them this day. Turn to your book in Revelations verse 21. Or excuse me, chapter 21. And we have a view which is a favorite of a great many here, I'm sure. A view starting in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Sounds like out of the Book of Mormon, doesn't it? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Is that not a view? Is that not a hope? And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Jesus Christ upon his throne. Turn to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Another prophet of old opens up a vision that he received that should be a view to us. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now I talked about the throne that Christ shall sit upon in Revelations 21. And in this throne here, to have a view, can you imagine a train that filled the whole temple? Doesn't even tell us about the throne, the grandeur of that throne. But Christ's train filled the whole temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And yet a view of a vision that Isaiah received. Then said I, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I like that vision. I like to view that. And in this I see Isaiah making a commitment to Jesus Christ, realizing that he is unclean, undone. And each of you that have entered in by the right way through the water of baptism and the laying on of hands, as if by fire for the Holy Ghost, have been cleaned and purged as was Isaiah. Each of you, prior to that baptism, made a commitment, a covenant with Christ. Those of you that have not yet made that commitment to Christ, but yet have that view before you, have the responsibility to answer one way or the other. To accept or to put it off. To accept or in time to reject. Each of you, whether entered in by the right way or viewing that for the first time, have to answer a question, as did Isaiah. Christ asked him, who will go for us? Who will take up the work? Whether you're a priesthood or a member of the body of Christ, your calling is out of the world. Your calling is to enter in by the right way. Your calling is to take up the work. And that can be a mission overseas. That can be going to Calgill. That can be attending a business meeting, and instead of waiting for your name to be called, to decline. That can be going to your pastor and saying, I'd like to volunteer for this. To volunteer for a work. Whether it's cleaning, whether it's maintenance, makes no difference. It is the Lord's work. And it is His work that He called Isaiah to. And it is His work that He calls each of us to. And He asks the same question. And your response will be, as was Isaiah? Or will it be the response I have given in the past? Low profile in the pew so nobody notices you. I've done that before. Campaigning before the elections within the body of Christ. I really don't want that job. That's not what Isaiah did. That's not what a servant of Christ does. That's not what a handmaiden of Christ should be about. A commitment. We have views on the horizon to where this corruptible, what do you see before you now, and what I see before me now, the corruptible, you and I, one day will be incorruptible. That is yet a view on the horizon. Another view that you have is for your ministry to receive the endowment. We have weaknesses within us, in case you haven't noticed. we're weak. But yet on the horizon is a point in time that the Lord God will endow His servants with power. Not for self, for His glory, the glory of the Father. The endowment is yet on the horizon. On the horizon also, the Scriptures speak about a time when a child will play at the hole of a snake, a poisonous snake, an asp, no harm done. A time when the lion shall lay down with the lamb. A nonviolent world, changed inside out, pretty much as a garden in the beginning. To attain to a view, a hope, a trust, a belief on the horizon, we need to look within ourselves. We need a self-examination of our faith, our hope, our trust, who we believe in, who we trust in. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. We need to examine our faith. We need to examine our work. Do we really do enough? The Scriptures in the Book of Mormon say, if you offer up every breath, every step to the Lord, everything that you are, yet, because of what He has given to you and I, we are unprofitable servants. We need to look at our commitment to the work. We need to look at our hope, which is our view. We need to look at self and each other with charity within our heart, the pure love of Jesus Christ. And from the Scriptures we know and understand that this work, this gospel of Christ, is to go forth to the whole world. And as the Lord asked Isaiah in that vision, who will go for us? Isaiah was able to answer that. As I look at myself, I don't know that I'm ready to answer that to that degree. Are you? But if I told you that the mysteries... Anybody know all the mysteries of God? If one of us knew all the mysteries of God, if this body of Christ knew all the mysteries of God, could we not undertake such a work? Would we not have the strength within us? You know, the mysteries of God are opened up to us this day. Turn to Alma, the 9th chapter, verse 15. This is on page 344. Verse 15. And now Alma began to expand these things unto him, saying, it is given unto many to know the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God are out there with His servants. Not only His servants, with those that He chooses to reveal them to, and they're given to many. Verse 16. Nevertheless, they, those that know the mysteries, are laid under a strict command, that they shall not impart only according to the portion of His word which He doth grant unto the children of men. According, this is the key, to the heed and diligence which they give unto Him. The heed and diligence which they give unto Him. Not the one that has the mystery, but according to your heed and diligence that you give to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those that know are instructed to impart according to your heed and diligence. And therefore he that will harden his heart, the same receiveth the lesser portion of the word. And he that will not harden his heart, to him is given the greater portion of the word, until it is given unto him to know the mysteries of God, until they know them in full. All the mysteries of God are there for you and I to know. Not just the ministry, but the body of Christ. Turn to Alma, the 14th chapter, page 399. We read in the 9th chapter where heed and diligence are required of us. Alma, the 14th chapter, verses 103, 104. Yea, he that repenteth and exerciseth faith, and that's the way you enter into this body of Christ, and bringeth forth good works, and prayeth continually without ceasing, unto such it is given to know the mysteries of God. Yea, unto such it is given to reveal things which never have been revealed. To your ministry? I would hope so. To the body of Christ? That's up to each and every one of you. Things that have never been revealed, according to your heed, according to your diligence, according to your praying without ceasing, according to your faith, according to your works, these mysteries of God are opened up. Verse 104. Yea, and it shall be given unto such to bring thousands of souls to repentance, even as it hath been given unto us to bring these our brethren to repentance. You ever wonder about the impact that you make in your life on others? Each of you impact others. You have an effect and an effect on others. And it's how you conduct your life. It's how you live your life. It's how you answer that call, who will go for us? We must maintain a view of the past, a view of the present, and a view of things yet to come. But upon all this, it is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our covenant, our commitment, our promise to Him. Have you ever heard about that view from the top? You know, if you think about the financial world or the workaday world, and they talk about that view from the top, what it looks like. Well, spiritually, Jesus Christ had a view from the top. Turn in your Book of Mormons to Mosiah, the 8th chapter. Starting with verse 28. And these, it identifies these words, they're the words of God, as delivered through a prophet of old by the name of Abinadi. And he sought to instruct those about him about Jesus Christ and his role. And now Abinadi saith unto them, I would that you should understand that God himself shall come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people. Because he dwelleth in flesh, he shall be called the Son of God. And having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Son. The Father because He was conceived by the power of God, and the Son because of the flesh, thus becoming the Father and the Son. And they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth. And thus the flesh, becoming subject to the Spirit, or the Son to the Father, being one God, suffereth temptation, and yieldeth not to the temptation, but suffereth Himself to be mocked, scourged and cast out and disowned by his people. And this is his view from the top. And after all this, and after working many mighty miracles among the children of men, he shall be led, yea, even as Isaiah said, as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Yea, even so he shall be led, crucified, and slain. The flesh becoming subject even unto death, the will of the Son being swallowed up in the will of the Father. And thus God breaketh the bands of death, having gained the victory over death, giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of men. Having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion toward the children of men, all these things Jesus Christ has for each of us. He's ascended into heaven. He has the bowels of mercy. And He is filled with compassion towards the children of men. That's you and I. compassion towards you and I, standing betwixt them and justice, having broken the bands of death, taking upon Himself their iniquity, that's your iniquity and mine, and their transgressions, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. Now I say unto you, who shall declare His generation? Behold, I say unto you that when His soul has been made an offering for sin, and that's the view from the top, that's the view from the cross that He was crucified upon, when His soul was made an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. And now what say you? And who shall be His seed? Behold, I say unto you that whosoever hath heard the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets which have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord, I say unto you that all those who have hearkened unto their words and believed that the Lord would redeem His people and have looked forward to that day for a remission of their sins, I say unto you that these are His seed, or they are heirs of the kingdom of God. For these are they whose sins He hath borne. These are they for whom He hath died to redeem them from their transgressions. And now, are you not His seed? That's what Christ viewed. Each of you that have entered in by the right way, each of you that have answered that call, here am I. He is seen. He is noted. He is numbered. And you are heirs of the kingdom of God. But we have to answer a question that Abinadi asked. Are you His seed? And we have to answer that question that Isaiah answered. Who will go? Thank you.